a majestic lion surrounded by strips of golden film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, trademark www.mgm.com. Several stars gather to form a spinning O, an Orion Pictures release. Our leader, an explorer looking very much like Indiana Jones, travels with two guides through the jungle. A CineCorp production in association with Imaginary Entertainment. Weird Al Yankovic. UHF. The men venture further into the jungle. Kevin McCarthy. Michael Richards. David Bowie. Stanley Brock. The explorer stops to admire a waterfall. He puts his hands on his hips. Anthony Geary. The two other men approach the leader from behind. One man pulls out a gun. The leader notices and quickly takes out his whip and slices off the assailant's arm. The man looks down in horror at his missing limb and runs away. We now see a close-up of the bespeckled, curly-haired, and mustached Indiana Jones. Trinidad Silva. The scene shifts to the mouth of a cave. The explorer and his remaining guide venture inside. Getty Watanabe. Billy Barty. John Paragon, Fran Drescher. Sue Ann Langdon, David Provol, Grant James. And Victoria Jackson as Terry.
Senor, we must not go any further. Look!
A sculpture of a silly face with a tongue sticking out.
It is an ancient sacred Ovida symbol. It's certain death for anyone who enters. We must turn back. Now!
The explorer trudges forward. The guide does a triple take and runs away. The guide backs out of the cave and is hit by an oncoming train. Casting: Kathy Henderson, CSA, Barbara Hanley, CSA, Michael Cutler. Executive Producer, Gray Fredrickson. Co-producers, Kevin Bretzlin, Darren Getz. The explorer brushes aside vines and cobwebs as he ventures forth into the cave. There are signs throughout the cave that say, police line, do not cross, do not enter, keep out, dangerous area, no visitors, no exceptions, wrong way, stop, severe tire damage. He walks into a room with a golden gong with a mysterious smiling face on it. Edited by Dennis O'Connor. Production designed by Ward Preston. Director of Photography, David Lewis. The explorer walks into a room with a stone pedestal. A golden Oscar statuette stands atop the pedestal. With a determined face, the explorer slowly walks up to the Oscar. Written by Al Yankovic and Jay Levy. The explorer leans down to admire the Oscar. He rubs his chin thoughtfully. He reaches into his jacket and pulls out a bag of sand. Produced by Gene Kirkwood, John Hyde. Directed by Jay Levy. The man sprinkles some sand on the pedestal. Nothing happens. He attempts to replace the Oscar with the bag of sand, but decides to just grab the Oscar instead. A trap is activated. The room shakes. Rocks start to fall all around him. A rock hits him in the head as he runs away. He props a falling stone door open with the Oscar and scurries under the door. He grabs the Oscar and the door shuts. He looks up in dread. His head rotates 360 degrees, so he's looking behind himself. A giant boulder is rolling towards him. The boulder chases him as he runs from it. He runs past the pyramids, a church in the countryside, a tropical island, a busy city street. He falls down in the middle of the street, and the boulder flattens him. The scene fades from his flattened body to a hamburger sizzling on the grill. George Newman looks down absentmindedly at the patty.
George!
George!
Are you daydreaming again?
No, I was just admiring how clean and shiny this grill is.
Come on, George, we're busy here.
You know what the problem is? Nobody here appreciates a guy with a good imagination.
Well, at least not the people at the lumberyard, or the miniature golf course, or Floyd's fish market, or any of the other places you worked in the last month, right?
Yeah, well, someday they'll be sorry. They'll be eating breakfast or something, and all of a sudden they'll say, "Hey!"
Mustard hits customers.
"We screwed up! We never should have fired George Newman because he's got imagination."
George lifts a basket of burnt fries out of the fryer.
"I think the fries are just about done."
"Oh, jeez, you better not let Big Edna see that. She'll have a fit."
Big Edna. He's not like a broken record. Why are you so afraid of that pathetic tub of lard?"
Big Edna approaches Bob and George from behind. Big Edna carries Bob and George by the scruff of their neck. She throws them out the door. They land out in the parking lot. Bob and George pull up in front of their apartment building. They live next to Cooney's Karate School.
"How could you do this to me? I knew this was gonna happen."
"You're right, Bob. I'm sorry. What can I say? I'm a miserable, worthless hunk of slime. Here. I want you to take this crowbar and just bash my head right in. Go ahead, really, please. Just bash it right in."
"Ah, George, you know I couldn't do that. You still owe me $5.
A karate student falls through the window and lands in front of George.
"Hey, Cooney!
Hiya, George!"
"Beginner's class today, huh?"
"Yeah, they're so stupid!"
Another karate student crashes through the window and hits the ground.
"Stupid!"
George cuts a Twinkie longwise like a hot dog bun. He sticks a wiener in the middle of the Twinkie, then he sprays Cheese Whiz on top.
"Boy,
look what I got here, Bob. A Twinkie wiener sandwich. Your favorite."
"Come on, Bob. Cheer up, will ya?
You ruined my life."
George stretches Bob's mouth into a smile with his fingers.
"You know, Bobbo, I think you're developing a bad attitude here. You see, Bob, you gotta look at the big picture. You gotta grab life by the lips and yank as hard as you can." "See anything on the one ads?"
"Yeah, but nothing with the prestige of working at Burger World. So what do you think Terry's gonna say when she hears you got fired again?"
"Terry? Oh no! What time is it?"
An arm with a wristwatch punches through the wall.
7:30? Oh boy, I gotta go. I'll see you later, Bob."
At Terry's apartment.
"So what's your excuse this time?"
Well, Bob and I were having a serious discussion about our various career options. Boy, I really like what you've done with your hair. It's really...
George, did you get fired again?
Yes! Yes, it's all true!
George slams his head against the kitchen counter.
So what's for dinner?
Mashed potatoes? My favorite. Terry, you shouldn't have.
George, when are you going to start taking things a little more seriously? I mean, you've been wandering aimlessly from job to job ever since I've known you. If you could just get that overactive imagination of yours to work for you instead of against you, maybe...
George has a pile of mashed potatoes on his plate. He is staring intently at his plate.
What are you doing?
This means something. This is important.
Later, at a party.
Oh, George, that is just terrible. But don't you worry. You're a fine young man. I'm sure you'll get another job right away. You got such a good face. Look at this face. Would you look at this face? Is this a face you could die for?
George's face stretches out like rubber.
So, where's Uncle Harvey? I haven't seen him all night.
Oh, he'll be out soon. I think he's having some sort of last-minute business meeting.
Two pair, aces high.
Uncle Harvey attends a poker game.
Yeah, what? Hey, Louie.
I just wanted to congratulate you, Mr. Bilchick. You did very well at the track this afternoon.
Oh, yeah? I won again, huh?
Right, yeah. Thanks, Louie. Bye. Now, what are we doing here?
It's your deal, Harvey.
George holds a small dog near a punch bowl.
Oh, hi, honey. Have you finished your meeting?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And business was great tonight.
Harvey, have you been gambling again?
Hey, what are you complaining about?
This is for when you go shopping on Rodeo Drive.
What's this?
Oh, that's a deed to Channel 62. I won with a pair of sevens. I was bluffing.
Channel 62? Never heard of it.
I'm not surprised. More people watch the fish tank at Leo's pet store. It's a little UHF station on the edge of town. It's been on the brink of bankruptcy for years. It's too bad I got dumped.
Oh, really? I kind of like the idea of us having our own TV station.
Forget about it. They can't even find anybody to manage the place anymore.
Harvey, I know somebody who'd be perfect for the job.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
She looks at George, who feeds the dog punch from a ladle.
George! George, dear, can you come over here for a second?
He drops the dog in the punch bowl.
No, not him. Forget it. No way.
Our view shifts to a car driving down a dark road in the middle of nowhere.
I can't believe your Uncle Harvey's letting you run his TV station.
Hey, he trusts me. Besides, he's going to California. He doesn't want to be bothered with it.
Well, here we are.
George and Terry get out of their car. The building looks eerie in the dark shadows of the night.
This is it.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined. Come on, let's go check it out.
I don't know, George. I'm not so sure about this.
See, the front door's open. It's a friendly place.
Hey, mister.
A bedraggled man approaches.
Change. You got change?
Oh, sure.
85, 95, $1. Thanks, mister.
The man gives George a dollar and takes the change.
Hello. I'm Mr. Red.
George and Terry slowly peek around the door. They see beakers of colorful liquid, glowing and blinking lights, TV screens, and lab equipment. A wild-haired scientist suddenly appears.
Can I help you?
Who are you?
I'm Philo, chief engineer.
So, isn't it a little late for you to be working? I mean, what time do you normally go home?
This is my home. I live here. Hold these.
Philo hands George two large electrodes.
No. Like this.
He adjusts how George is holding the electrodes.
What are you doing?
Oh, I just want to see if my interocitor can withstand a sudden charge of 60,000 volts.
What?
Electricity sparks between the two electrodes, causing George's hair to stand up.
Yeah. It works.
Daytime. Our view shifts to a red and white broadcast antenna towering high into the sky. Our view pans down into the TV station parking lot.
I don't know about this, George. I mean, I don't know the first thing about what goes on at a television station.
Don't worry, Bob. It's just like working in a fish market. Except you don't have to clean and gut fish all day.
So, can I help you?
Hi, I'm George Newman. I'm the new station manager.
You know, when I first took this job, they told me that this position was only temporary, and that eventually, when the time was right, I would be moved up to news, which is really my forte. You know how long I've been working here? 2 years! It's kind of hard to get promoted when every other week you have a new boss. This job really sucks.
This is my friend Bob. Hi, nice to meet you.
Howdy, friends. It's Crazy Ernie from Crazy Ernie's Used Car Emporium. It's a giant supermarket of cars. I got so many cars, people come up to me and say, "Hey, Crazy Ernie, where'd you get all those cars?" Looky here. I got red cars. I got green cars. I got enough cars to choke a camel. Tell you what, friends. If nobody comes down and buys a car from me in the next hour, I'm gonna club this baby seal. That's right. I'm going to club and see him and make a better deal. You know, I'll do it too, because I'm crazy.
Bob and George sit in their office.
Look at all the old reruns the station is airing. We could sure use some more live shows. I don't know, something like,
No.
You okay in there, Pam?
Yes, it's just if it's not one thing, it's another. You know, that mailman's really got a screw loose. He delivers us this package. It's supposed to go to R.J. Fletcher.
Who?
R.J. Fletcher. He runs Channel 8. You know, the network affiliate downtown. Oh, well, I guess I'll just have to send it back to him tomorrow.
No, that's okay. I'll take it over myself. It'll be a good chance to meet the competition.
You know, George, I'll tell you, I don't really think that's such a good idea. I heard he's not the nicest guy in the world.
Oh, come on. He can't be all that bad. He just gotta know how to talk to those guys.
You idiot! Can't you do anything I tell you to do? Does this look like a number two pencil?
No, I just thought that
you
I would...
thought? I don't pay you to think.
But, Dad...
Shut up! Let's get back to the meeting. All right, who's got the research report?
I left the report on your desk, sir.
I don't see it. When did you put it here?
Yesterday, before I left, sir.
The janitor. It must have been the janitor. He probably threw it out when he was cleaning up in here. Send in the janitor. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I will not tolerate this kind of behavior at Channel 8. This is a business, not a home for irresponsible puss brains.
A lanky janitor wearing a hat carrying a mop walks in.
He wanted to see me, sir?
That's right. I guess you know why I called you in here.
Because you're lonely?
No, you moron. Now look carefully. Do you see anything missing from this desk?
Stapler?
No!
Oh, dear.
Now listen to me. There was a very important file on this desk. A file that represented 2 months of intensive research. It's my guess that you threw it out.
No, sir. No.
Were you in here cleaning up last night?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I was.
Do you see that file on my desk now?
The janitor scratches his head.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think I proved my point. You are a worthless human being, Mr.
Spadowski. Stanley Spadowski.
May I call you Stanley?
Okay.
Stanley, You're fired!
But I didn't.
Get him!
RJ Fletcher rushes forward, shooing him away. Stanley stumbles backwards and knocks the door shut. He frantically opens the door and leaves.
I can't believe the incompetence in this place. People like that should be put to sleep.
RJ sits at his desk. He notices that he is sitting on something. He pulls a folder out from underneath him.
Well, what do you know? The research file. Here it is. Been sitting here all the time.
George Newman arrives at Channel 8.
Ready home, I called.
Yes, Mr. Fletcher. Hey, RJ!
Everyone in the room freezes. RJ slowly turns towards George.
Hi, George Newman, U62. Say, nice place you got here. You know, I was just thinking, since we're both in the business...
Where'd you get this? Do you realize that stealing mail is a federal offense?
Hold on, you don't understand. I was...
No, you don't understand how serious a crime this is. I think you just better clear out your desk and get out. You're through, mister.
But I don't work here.
Trespassing, huh? Well, you've got 10 seconds to get out before I call the police.
Look, I just thought we could maybe...
5, 4, 3...
Gee, look at the time. Well, gotta go. Keep in touch.
George slowly backs away. Stanley is assaulted by one of RJ's goons.
No, no, please. It's all I've got left.
Let go. This is station property.
No, no, it's my mop. Let's go. Go, you idiot. That's my mop.
Not anymore, buddy.
The goon bumps into George as he leaves.
Are you all right?
It's just not fair.
Come on, forget about it. It's only a mop.
Only a mop. Only a mop. You don't understand. That mop was given to me for my birthday when I was 8 years old. We've never been apart.
Stanley shakes George violently by the shoulders.
Now I don't even have a job anymore. 15 years, they just tossed me out like an old bag of moldy tangerines.
Stanley leans into George and begins slamming his head into George's chest.
What am I gonna do?
Well, maybe you could come work for me.
Really? You mean it?
Sure, I guess we could use a janitor.
Stanley Spadowski.
George Newman.
Oh, I'm mighty glad to meet you, George. Hey, I'm gonna do a really good job. You won't be sorry. I'm really gonna do a good job for you, George. I'm a good janitor. I'm a good... Want me to clean your glasses for you?
No, that...
I'll make them real shiny, real shiny.
Stanley takes George's glasses and starts to clean them with his shirt.
Nope. Is this it?
Our view shifts to City Hall. A blind man and his sighted friend sit on a bench. The blind man plays with a Rubik's Cube. Pamela is at a payphone.
Is this it?
George, I can't delay the broadcast because the mayor is supposed to be coming out any minute.
Where is he? No, I've looked all over. I don't see a Noodles McIntyre.
McIntosh. At your service.
Noodles is only 3 feet tall. George, he carries a large video camera.
Come on.
A couple of RJ's goons see Pamela and Noodles preparing for a broadcast in front of the City Hall steps.
We go now live to U62's Pamela Finkelstein on the steps at City Hall.
We see from the camera's perspective, which is pointed up at Pamela at a sharp angle.
Seen this morning on the front steps of City Hall.
We're awaiting the emergence of Mayor Thompson from his annual city budget meeting. I think he... Oh, yeah, here comes the mayor now. Let's go over. Maybe we can get a few words out of him.
Back at the control room, Philo turns his head sideways to try and get a better view. One of RJ's goons trips Noodles. The screen goes to static. Philo tries to fix the broadcast.
Oh, did I do that?
Noodles lays on the ground. His camera is broken.
Noodles, those things are fragile. You should be more careful.
Here he is now. I think that we should be able to...
Pamela turns around.
Hey, sweetheart. Take my advice. Broads don't belong in broadcasting.
Mr. Mayor! Mr. Mayor!
Hi! Richard Fletcher, Channel 8 News. How are ya?
Noodles has a scrape on his elbow. Back at the station, Pamela cleans Noodles' scrape.
Yeah, but broads don't belong in broadcasting? Is that the kind of professional courtesy you teach your news department?
Why, that's just terrible. I don't know how many times I've told those boys never call chicks broads.
Why, you slimy! Ooh!
Hello, and welcome to Town Talk. I'm George Newman, and today our special guest is local high school shop teacher, Joe Early. Joe, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, homeboy.
Well, I see you've brought some equipment with you today. Would you mind giving us a little demonstration?
Not at all. There's only a few simple principles you must bear in mind before attempting to operate a sophisticated piece of machinery like this
table saw.
Joe slowly nods at George.
You know, lots of times when my students...
Whoa!
Joe cuts off his finger. The stump spurts blood.
Oh. You believe this? Oh, will you look at that?
Blood squirts all over George's shirt.
Just call me Mr. Butterfingers. I think it's on the floor somewhere.
Blood spurts all over Joe's face.
Is my face red?
Oh. In a kitchen.
Buddy, where's the spatula?
Okay, kids, let's go.
The family gets into the car.
There's just one place to go for all your spatula needs.
Spatula City!
Spatula City! A giant warehouse of spatulas for every occasion. Thousands to choose from in every shape, size, and color. And because we eliminate the middleman, we can sell all our spatulas factory direct to you. Where do you go when you want to buy name brand spatulas at a fraction of retail cost?
Spatula City!
Spatula City! And this weekend only, take advantage of our special liquidation sale. Buy 9 spatulas, get the 10th one for just 1 penny. Don't forget, they make great Christmas presents.
And what better way to say I love you than with the gift of a spatula?
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
Hello, this is Cy Greenbloom, president of Spatula City. I like their spatulas so much, I bought the company.
Spatula City, 7 locations. We're in the yellow pages under spatulas.
My, where did you get that lovely spatula?
City, we sell spatulas, and that's all.
At the TV studio, the cameraman plays a drum and operates the spotlight. On the set, George comes out of a cardboard house dressed in a colorful coat, hat, and bow tie.
Hey, kids, where do you want to go?
To Uncle Nutsy's clubhouse.
That's right. I'm your Uncle Nutsy. And boy, oh boy, are we going to have some big fun today, huh, kids?
The kids look bored.
Well, let's walk on over and see who's in our kitty corner. Hi, what's your name?
Billy.
Billy what? Okay. Uh-oh, you know who that is? That's right, it's your pal, Bobo the Clown. Yay! Hey, Bobo, want to play a game? Okay, look up. Look down. Now look at Mr. Frying Pan. Uh-oh, Bobo, fall down, go boom. Upsy-daisy. Say, Bobo, what's wrong? Oh, I bet I know. You're hungry, aren't you? Well, I know just what you want. Clowns and kids alike can't resist the mouth-watering, lip-smacking taste of Mrs. Hockenberger's butter cookies. Right, Bobo?
A box of Yappy's dog
That's
treats.
Right. And hey, Mom, they're nutritious, too. Just look at how much Bobo here likes them. Mmm, that's good. And don't forget, kids, there's a nifty surprise inside every box of Mrs. Hagenberger's... Uh-oh. Bobble's been eating Yappy's dog treats. That's right, Yappy's dog treats. Your dog will love that real liver and tuna taste. With just a hint of cheese.
Hi, Pamela Finkelstein.
Terry does dental work while a TV hangs from the wall.
Now, Mr. Ramsey is the president of the local chapter of the American Gun Association. Mr. Ramsey, is it correct to assume that your organization is against gun control?
Gun control is for wimps and commies. Listen, let's get one thing straight. Guns don't kill people. I do.
Yes, well...
This is a special bulletin from the U62 newsroom.
Hi, Terry, it's George. Happy birthday! Hey, how about if I take you and your folks out to dinner? I'll meet you at Cafe Francais at 7:30, okay? I love you!
Terry looks up at the TV.
Are you tired of sloppy, cut-rate funerals? You've tried the rest. Now try the best. The Plots Are Us Mortuary Service. Remember, there's always plenty of free parking. And don't forget to visit our new salad bar.
Plots Are Us. Eternal peace at affordable prices.
George works at his desk. He watches the TV.
What good is having 68 million?
George starts to fall asleep.
Well, this morning is good for getting a lot of paper signed for Mr. Ramsey.
He was doing that when I met
him. Our view zooms into the TV screen, which flickers and turns to static. Suddenly, George looks up to see a band playing on the TV. He is now in a computer-generated living room. Now George looks down at himself, and he is also a cartoon. Our view shifts between George, the TV, and an animated dog. George flies into the TV. A band plays on stage. Their instruments have bright animated lines drawn around them. George plays the guitar. His headband changes color. Another man plays the bass, and the neck of his instrument bends. An animated Jed Clampett is in the living room with George. They watch the band play on TV. Jed starts to sing.
Now looky here, people. Listen to my story. A little story about a man named Jed. You know something? That poor mountaineer. They say he barely kept his family fed. Now let me tell you, one day he was shooting. Old Jed was shooting at some food. When all of a sudden, right up from the ground there, well, there came a bubbling crude. Oh, that is, well, maybe you call it black gold, the Texas tea. He gonna move next to Mr. Drysdale and be a Beverly Hills. Right now, we got to move to Beverly Hills, that is.
A computer-generated Jeep drives past a video screen over and over again with the band playing on the screen. The view shifts to a CGI version of George watching the band play on TV. The dog lays in front of the television.
Look at that. Y'all come back now, here.
Our view pans around the CGI version of George with his head down on his desk. It fades into a version of the real George doing the same thing. Stanley leans over George and breathes into his ear.
George? Hey, George?
I finished polishing all the doorknobs. Is there anything else you want me to do?
No, Stanley, that's okay. It's getting pretty late. Why don't you call it a night?
Oh, do I have to?
Yeah. Go on, I'll see you in the morning.
Okay. I'll see you. George, you know, I was wondering, like if you were traveling through outer space, I mean, like you're going real fast, like the speed of light, you know, and all of a sudden you started screaming, you think that your brain would blow up?
Guys, I'm trying to work. Do you mind?
Oh, I don't mind. Go right ahead. Do you mind, George?
Terry and her parents wait at a fancy restaurant.
Would you care to order now?
Oh, yeah. I think we'll have the...
No, thank you. We'll wait. Are you sure he knows what restaurant we're at?
Terry looks disappointed. Back at the office.
Well, I've got some good news and some bad news.
Okay, give me the bad news first.
Well, given our present financial situation, compounded by ongoing fixed expenses and outstanding invoices, I figure the station will be flat broke by the end of the week.
What's the good news?
I lied. There is no good news.
I never should have taken this job. Should have known it would turn out like all the others. You know, for a short time there, I really thought this was going to be different. I just don't know anymore. Well, at least I've still got Terry.
George's eyes widen.
What time is it? 9:30?
Oh, no!
George's hand hovers over the phone. George grimaces.
Hello?
George Newman? You are a selfish, thoughtless, insensitive creep. And from now on, you can forget all my birthdays because we're through.
A cardboard house. George shuffles in with his head down.
Hey, kids. Where do you want to go? That's right, to Uncle Nutsy's clubhouse. And boy, oh boy, are we going to have big fun today. We're going to have so much fun. We'll forget about how miserable we are and how much life sucks and how we're all going to grow old and die someday.
I want to go home.
Shut up, you little weasel. Okay. Right now, I'd like to show you one of my favorite cartoons. It's a sad, depressing story about a pathetic coyote who spends every waking moment of his life in the futile pursuit of a sadistic roadrunner who mocks him and laughs at him as he's repeatedly crushed and maimed. Hope you enjoy it!
Hey, where are you going?
We need a drink.
You don't drink.
Yeah, but I've been meaning to start.
Wait a minute. What about the rest of the show?
Watch out, Mr. Coyote! Oh, terrible.
Hey, Stanley.
Yeah, George?
How would you like your own TV show?
Okay.
You're on.
What are you doing? Are you crazy?
Stanley slowly walks on set with his mop.
What?
George, what about...
Bob, it doesn't matter anymore. It's over.
Yeah, we're watching it too. Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. Okay, call you later.
Gentlemen, what can I get you?
Beer.
Blueberry daiquiri.
Tell you what, George, let's start fresh. Start a whole new business. Maybe we could borrow some money from your Uncle Harvey.
Oh, right.
We just flushed his TV station down the toilet. I'm sure he'd be happy to lend us money.
So I guess Terry's never gonna speak to you again, huh?
George's head hits the bar as their drinks arrive.
Hey, I didn't get an umbrella.
Look, everybody! He's coming back on!
Everyone gathers around the TV.
Hey, welcome back to Stanley Spadalski's Clubhouse. Hey, are you kids having a good time? Yeah! Hey, how about that cartoon? That was a weird cartoon, wasn't it? You know, that cartoon, it reminds me of a dream I had last week, and I turned into a bird with a candy bar head. And there was these other birds, you know, they're all trying to eat my head and everything, but I got away from them. And then there was this tree, you know, and there was this weird lizard, you know. What the?
Stanley pulls a plastic lizard out of his clothes.
Whoa! 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 I want to show you something. I want to show you something.
Stanley drops the lizard and runs off camera. Stanley has his mop.
This is my new mop. George, my friend, he gave me this mop. It's a pretty good mop. It's not as good as my first mop. I miss my first mop. But this is still a good mop. Sometimes you just have to take what life gives you. Because life is like a mop. And sometimes life gets full of dirt and crud and bugs and hairballs and stuff. You got to clean it out. You got to put it in here and rinse it off and start all over again. And sometimes life sticks to the floor so bad. You know, a mop, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. You got to get down there like with a toothbrush, you know? And you got to really scrub. You got to get it off. You got to really try to get it off. But if that doesn't work, you can't give up. You got to stand right up. You got to run to a window and say, hey, these floors are dirty as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
That's right. Stanley Spadalski. Uh-huh. I don't think that he's married, no. Well, I think that he went to Harvard.
The hallway is full of excited children.
I'll see you kids later. Hi, George. Well, finished with the TV show. What do you want me to do now?
Did you have a good time in there, Stanley?
Yeah. Oh, boy, it was fun.
Great. How'd you like to do it every day?
Yeah. That would be neat. Hey, wait a minute. Do I still get to be the janitor?
Sure.
Oh, okay. It's a deal. Well, I'm gonna go clean the bathroom.
Stanley's head pops up in the middle of a giant model railroad.
Okay, kids, where you wanna go?
Great. All right, it's a deal. Thanks a lot. Okay, talk to you later. George, where do you hear this? Stanley Spadalski's clubhouse is sold out for the next 3 months. The sponsors love him.
George throws grapes at Bob's mouth.
You know, if we had a few more shows like this, we'd really be in business.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. I've been working on some new ideas. Tell me what you think.
Today, one of these lucky contestants will win his or her weight in fish right here on
Wheel of Fish!
Cooney jumps into view wearing his karate uniform.
Okay, let's play the game. We start with yesterday's winner, Miss Phyllis Weaver. Are you ready, Weaver?
I sure am, Cooney.
Okay, you get over there and spin the Wheel of Fish.
A giant wheel of fish.
Go ahead! Give it a big spin!
The wheel lands on a red snapper.
Oh, a red snapper! It's very tasty. Okay, Weaver, listen carefully. You can hold on to your red snapper. Oh, you can go for what's in the box that Hiro-san is bringing down the aisle right now! What's it gonna be?
I'll take the box! The box!
You go! Let's see what's in the box!
Hiro-san lifts the box.
Nothing! Absolutely nothing! Stupid! You're so stupid!
We see blinking lights, beakers of colorful liquid, lab equipment, and vapor floating in the air. Philo fades into view.
Hello. My name is Philo, and welcome to... Secrets of the Universe. Today, we're going to learn to make plutonium from common household items.
Hey man, this is Raul Hernandez, and welcome to Raul's Wild Kingdom, coming to you live from my apartment. How about that, huh? Okay, first thing we're going to do today is check out the wonderful world of turtles. This is my friend Tommy. Tommy, say hello to the nice people.
Hello.
Ha! Isn't he great, huh? Okay, so the turtle is a member of the reptile family, and it's got this hard protective shell, which keeps predators away, also provides him with his own home when he sleeps. Oh, and he's got these tiny, teeny little legs, which makes him move real slow. And not too many people know this, but the turtle is also nature's suction cup. Watch this.
Raul throws the turtle up in the air.
Did you see that? It sticks! Okay, oh yeah, what else I got for you? Yeah, check this out. This is my ant farm. Now, ants are amazing. They can carry 50 times their own weight, and they work for weeks and weeks building these intricate little tunnels. And oh yeah, they hate it when you do this.
Raul shakes the ant farm.
Oh, look!
They're really mad now.
Where did you find this guy?
Me? I thought you hired him.
For those of you just joining us, today we're teaching poodles how to fly. Come here, Fluffy. Ah, Fluffy. Are you psyched? Are you ready? Okay. Here we go. Get ready and fly! Oh, man. You know, sometimes it takes them a little longer to learn how to do it right.
Okay, come on, come on, come on. Chat up, chat up. Hey, 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 who's next?
Ah, Gigi. Oh, man.
Hi, this is Terry. I'm not home right now, so leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Terry! I'm sorry. Come on, give me one more chance, please. Come on, Terry. Terry! Oh, oh, I'm in hell! I'm in hell! Terry! Terry, pick up the phone! Pick up the phone! Pick up the phone!
Terry sits by the phone, looking unamused.
Oh, Terry! Please! Oh, Terry!
Ah, oh, Richard. You shouldn't have.
Happy Father's Day, Dad.
What is this piece of crap? I thought I told you I wanted a Rolex! A Rolex!
A mustached man walks in, wearing a silly cowboy hat.
Sir, what do you want?
Just thought I ought to tell you, sir, there's a lot of talk on the street about this Channel 62. They're starting to get a pretty strong following.
Excuse me? Did you say Channel 62?
Uh-huh.
Do I have to remind you that we are a network affiliate? And we're in competition with other networks, not with a bunch of punks broadcasting out of a closet.
But,
do you enjoy wasting my time? Get out of my office! And take that ridiculous thing off!
The man slowly rips off his mustache, but leaves on the silly hat. Stanley drives onto the set in a miniature fire truck. The studio is full of audience members. Stanley drives past the audience members and gives them all high fives.
What's that mean? What's that mean?
A child's hand waves in the air, covered in oatmeal, holding a marble. Stanley gets out of the fire truck and walks up to a sandbox full of children. The sandbox is full of oatmeal.
Oh, Joe Miller, you just found the marble in the oatmeal. You're a lucky, lucky, lucky little boy, because you know why? You get to drink from the fire hose!
Stanley picks up a little boy and sits him on a prop horse. He puts a cowboy hat on the boy's head. The fire hose blasts the boy across the room.
Joe Miller, let's hear for him!
A delivery truck outside.
Brawler Nannies?
Yeah.
Got the delivery here for your next show?
Oh, great. What you got?
Well, let's see. I got one aardvark, one flamingo, 4 porcupines, 2 armadillos, 3 badgers.
Badgers? Badgers? We don't need no stinking badgers!
Terry finds a bouquet of flowers taped to her apartment door. Terry's apartment is filled with balloons. Among the balloons is a sign made of letters cut out from a magazine that says, "Life means nothing without you." A large glowing heart is in the middle of the room. It says, "George and Terry." At a library.
Never before in the history of motion pictures has there been a screen presence so commanding, so powerful, so deadly. He's Conan the Librarian.
Can you tell me where I can find a book on astronomy?
A large, muscular man lifts a short, fat man by his collar.
Don't you know the Dewey Decimal System?
Conan the Librarian.
I'm sorry, these books are a little overdue.
Conan chops a man in half.
Conan the Librarian.
Tonight, only on U62.
Stanley eats a watermelon.
This is pretty good one. Tastes like poop. I'm gonna eat some cornflakes. These are good corn. Free toy inside. Free toy inside. Let's find it.
Stanley reaches inside the box of cornflakes.
I'll let your mom know that you do this. But I want to find a toy.
Wonderful World of Phlegm is placed on the station schedule. Bob and George watch TV.
Go for a ride?
Oh, boy, is it fun?
Here, I'll just tie this around your waist.
Oh, wait a minute.
No, I'll show you.
No, I don't want to go for a ride.
Stanley flings a toy man around on a string.
Okay, how's this for our new Friday night lineup? 8 o'clock, Druids on Parade, then the Volcano Worshippers Hour, followed by Underwater Bingo for Teens, and Fun with Dirt.
Why not?
Oh, get this, I get a call this morning from a guy who says he can swallow his own face. Can you believe that?
Bob is looking at a piece of paper. He stands and stares at it.
What you got there?
The ratings.
Don't tell me we actually showed up on the list.
We're number one.
Say what?
We beat out the networks. This is unbelievable. Look at these numbers. We've got 3 shows in the top 5. Stanley Spadowski's Clubhouse went through the roof. He got a 60 share. Do you know what this means? We're finally going to have some real money. George, we're the number one station in town.
There's lots of fun coming your way this weekend on U62. First, slam your way to health as you stay fit with Mike and Spike. Next, everybody's favorite, Chef Bernie, invites you to go bowling for burgers. Sunday, be a part of the excitement as we premiere our dazzling new game show, Strip Solitaire. And then, join us for some hilarious fun on the all-new Practical Jokes and Bloopers. And you won't want to miss Celebrity Mud Wrestling with this week's special guest, Mikhail Gorbachev.
Stanley pulls a straw wrapper out of his nose. It looks like a giant booger.
New weekend on U62, the reason television was invented.
Be there!
R.J. Fletcher paces in front of his goons in his office.
This is indeed a sad day for Channel 8. We've been number one in this town for the past 10 years, and now our sponsors are pulling their accounts. We're losing valuable advertising revenue. We're losing credibility in the market. And why?
Because of some fly-by-night UHF station! A UHF station! This is an embarrassment, a disgrace! What do you think R.J. Fletcher Sr. would be saying if he were alive today?
Help, let me out of this box. I can't breathe in here. Help, let me out.
R.J. stares angrily at his son.
We've got to do something. We've got to do it fast. Who owns that station anyway?
Let me be your hog!
Uncle Harvey lounges on a raft in the pool.
I said, baby, 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 baby,
baby, baby!
Yo! Hey, Big Louie, what's happening?
Bad news, Mr. Bilchick. None of your horses came in.
Oh, that's too bad.
So, what's the damages, huh?
$75,000.
We see only Big Louie's hand, which is a prosthetic.
Oh, excuse me, Louie. I think I got a little water in the phone here. How much did you say that was again?
$75,000. I'll be expecting payment in 2 days.
2 days? Hey, listen, Louie. I might need a little bit more time, huh?
Friday night, 10 o'clock. $75,000 in cash.
Big Louie's prosthetic hand is replaced by a butcher knife, which he then swings down upon a hunk of meat.
I'm dead meat.
Yeah, what?
Mr. Bilchick, this is R.J. Fletcher.
A measuring tape comes down in front of George's face as he works at his desk.
Can I help you?
No, thanks. Just taking a few measurements.
Stanley walks by and notices R.J. Fletcher standing in the middle of the office. He stumbles into a TV cart and then hurries away.
Wait a minute. I think I missed something here.
Oh, didn't I tell you? I own this place now.
You what?
What's the matter, kid? You got wax in your ears.
But my Uncle Harvey...
Harvey Bilchick is flying in tonight to close the deal.
I don't believe this.
Hold this, kid.
George, do something.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't you already own Channel 8? I mean, isn't it illegal to own two television stations in the same town?
Oh, really? Gee, I guess I'll have to turn this place into a parking lot.
A cab pulls up in front of Uncle Harvey's home.
I still don't understand what this is all about.
I told you. I just got to wrap up a little business deal, and I'll be back in a few days, and I'll tell you all about it then. Hmm?
Mm-hmm. You take care of yourself, you hear?
Bye.
Bye. Hello? Oh, hi, George. It's so good to hear from you. How's everything? Hey, what?
Uncle Harvey nervously looks between the cab and the house. Then he walks back inside.
Uncle Harvey, at least give me a chance to match his offer. Yeah, well, let me worry about where I'm going to come up with the money. Yeah, $75,000 in cash by Friday night. 10 o'clock. Yeah, I got it. Okay. Okay. Okay, bye.
Oh, George, where are you going to come up with that kind of money?
Yeah, and what are you going to do about Fletcher?
Philo listens at the door.
Fletcher. Yeah, I wouldn't put anything past that guy. If there were only some way we could keep an eye on him.
Philo looks like he has an idea. R.J. Fletcher smiles as he puts the money into a briefcase. As RJ leaves his office, our view pans up. We see a hole being drilled into the ceiling. Philo is in the rafters with a drill and video equipment. A camera is lowered into the hole in the ceiling. At the airport, people deboard an airplane. A limo driver holding a sign that says "Bill Check" waits at the airport.
Hey.
Harvey. Harvey Bill Check. Great to see you. RJ Fletcher. Did you have a good flight?
Yeah. Want some peanuts?
No, thank you. Mr. Bill Check, while you're here in town, I want to make sure that you're very comfortable. Anything special you want, you just let me know. Now, what do you say we take care of a little business? I've got all the cash right here, and as soon as you sign these, we can start celebrating.
Yeah, well, listen, I got to talk to you about that.
What? What's wrong?
Well, you see, the thing is that I promised George that I'd give him a chance to get all the money by Friday night.
What are you talking about? We had a deal.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry about that, but it's just something I had to do. Don't worry about it. There's no possible way that kid can come up with $75,000 in 2 days.
RJ snarls as the limo departs.
George Newman. He starts where the others stop.
Sex with furniture. What do you think?
The world watched in amazement as he unlocked the mysteries of Al Capone's glove compartment.
Uh-huh! Road maps!
He blew the lid off Satanism.
Look, all I was trying to say...
Oh, shut up, you pinhead! You make me sick!
Sometimes shocking, always controversial, he deals with topics that the other talk shows are afraid to touch. He pries, he pokes, he digs deep. He gets the answers, he gets the facts, and most of all, he gets the ratings.
Lesbian Nazi hookers abducted by UFOs and forced into weight loss programs. All this week on Town Talk.
George's head is covered in bandages. He is hit in the head by a chair. A mailman brushes past Stanley as he polishes a doorknob, interrupting his work. Stanley notices George sitting on the stoop.
George? What's the matter? Stanley, you don't want to know.
Stanley scratches his head. He sits by George.
Why'd I ask? Is something I can do to help?
Not unless you've got $75,000.
Stanley looks in his wallet.
No, sorry.
This is ridiculous. There must be something I could do.
George and Stanley sit and think. George's eyebrows suddenly shoot up.
The U-62 telephone is on the air!
Stanley is on stage. George gives Stanley 2 thumbs up from the sidelines.
Hey, Dad, you better turn on channel 62. Something funny is going on.
RJ picks up his remote control.
Now, we're not asking for donations. What we are doing is offering this town a unique business opportunity.
This is 1 share of stock in channel 62. Our goal over the next day and a half is to sell 7,500 of these at $10 a piece. If we succeed, then the station will belong to all of us.
Now, I'm calling out an SOS. Save our station.
Yeah.
And we got volunteers right over here. They'll be taking your money, and they're going to be working around the clock for 2 days until every share is sold. What do you say, kids? Can we do it?
A view of a portrait of R.J. Fletcher Sr. in a darkened room. We see R.J. and his goons in the shadows.
I think it's time you boys paid our Mr. Spadowski
a little visit.
RJ snaps a pencil in half. People are gathered outside the U62 studio. Volunteers answer phones. $23,740 has been raised so far.
You can help us.
Well, you bring your dogs down here. I'll wash them for you.
Terry watches the telethon at home.
Well, so far, guys, your response has really been incredible, but we've still got a long way to go. Remember, when you buy stock in U62, you're not only helping yourself and your community.
You're doing great, Sally. Now, remember, you gotta pace yourself. You got a long way to go before tomorrow night.
Yeah, I can do it, George. I can do it.
George squirts water into Stanley's open mouth.
Just take it easy.
George offers Stanley a bucket, but he doesn't need it.
Is there anything I can get you?
Some Play-Doh.
Okay.
No, don't. Get me some bubbles, some real big bubbles.
I'll see what I can do.
Stanley relaxes and adjusts his suspenders.
Who is it?
Got a pizza here for Mr. Stanley Spadowski.
Pizza? For me?
Oh, boy.
Stanley opens the door and is yanked out of the room by the shoulders.
I like peppers. I love anchovies. Because they're real fishy. Sometimes I just like to get a pizza with nothing on it but anchovies. No peppers or olives or onions. Just anchovies. Because they're good.
So, are we going to kill him?
No. The boss just wants us to keep him on ice for a while. Easy.
Hey, wait a minute. You guys aren't from the pizza place.
Two short, muscular men in overalls with elongated faces lean on umbrellas.
Oh, George, you've got to do something. Every minute that Stanley's not on the air, we're losing money.
Yeah, listen, just stall as long as you can. I'm sure I'll turn up.
Okay.
What do the police say?
They're doing everything they can. I'm telling you, George Fletcher's behind this. I just know it.
At Channel 8. A bare light bulb hangs from a wire. Below, four men play poker and smoke. Stanley is tied to a chair.
Okay, I'm thinking of something orange. Something orange. Orange. You give up? It's an orange. Get it? It's fun, huh? Okay, now I'm thinking of something blue. Something blue.
Let me kill him. Please, let me kill him.
Hey!
What? What?
One of the goons wheels Stanley into the closet. The cameraman drinks black coffee directly from the pot. A yodeler is propped upside down and plays guitar.
Okay, Philo, go to commercial.
The TV screen reads UHF Telethon. We'll be right back.
Next week on U62. He's back. And this time, he's mad. Gandhi 2. No more Mr. Passive Resistance. He's out to kick some butt. This is one bad mother you don't want to mess with.
Gandhi throws one man in the dumpster. He punches another man in the gut.
Don't move, slime ball.
Gandhi jumps out of a red sports car.
He's a one-man wrecking crew.
He slams a man's head repeatedly on the bar.
But he also knows how to party.
Gandhi sits at a restaurant with two attractive women. He reads a menu.
Give me a steak, medium rare.
Hey, Baldy!
There is only one law. His law.
Everyone dives for the ground as Gandhi shoots a machine gun.
Gandhi 2.
RJ approaches his office building. A bedraggled man steps in his way.
Mister! Change! You got change?
You mind? Get out of my way.
Hey, come on. Can't you help a guy out? Anything.
He drops a penny in the man's hand.
Don't spend it all in one place.
Wow! I can't believe it. Oh, thanks, mister. Thanks a lot.
RJ walks inside. We see Terry through the window as she gets out of her car and approaches the door. Terry approaches RJ.
Mr. Fletcher, may I speak to you for a moment?
Personnel's that way, young lady.
No, I'm not here about a job. I'd like to talk to you about Channel 62.
Channel 62? Oh, yes. My demolition team is looking forward to turning it into a rubble heap Saturday morning.
Wait a minute. Would you please just listen? George Newman has turned that little station into something this community cares about.
George Newman is a two-bit little punk who should never have stuck his nose where it didn't belong. And if he sent you here to try to make a deal...
George doesn't know I'm here. Look, it just seems to me that there's more than enough room for both of you in this town.
Philo witnesses the conversation on a TV in the U-62 control room. He starts recording.
Let me tell you something. This community means about as much to me as a festering bowl of dog snot.
RJ's goons play jacks and other games as they guard Stanley.
You guys? Hey, you guys? The blindfold fell off. You better come fix it. I didn't mean for it. Whoa! And my shirt glows in the dark.
Will you shut him up?
I got an itch!
I don't want to have to tell you this again. Shut up. You're making us nuts. Now, I got three guys out here that would love to cut your tongue out. But I don't...
Stanley sees past the goon and spots his mop in the corner. His face breaks into a smile.
Be nice.
I'm out!
Stanley breaks free from his bonds and knocks over the goon. He knocks over the card table and grabs his mop. A goon holds Stanley at gunpoint. Stanley whacks the gun out of the goon's hand with the mop handle. He then sweeps the man's feet out from underneath of him. Stanley waves his mop around like a lightsaber and stumbles backwards into a stack of boxes. He gets up and runs into the hall, but the goons are right on his tail. He uses his mop to fend off the goons. They chase him around the office, making a mess. Stanley falls between a desk and a cubicle. The dividing wall falls down and a goon falls on top of it. Stanley squirms out from underneath the fallen wall and climbs between another goon's legs. He grabs a stapler and starts shooting staples at an assailant's face. Stanley stumbles to a set of doors and slams them repeatedly in the attacker's face. Stanley puts a chair against the door.
Gonna get me.
The attack is seen on a monitor at U-62, but Philo is distracted and doesn't notice. Stanley delicately places a book on top of a stack of other items in front of the door. RJ's goons shoot out a window and climb through. Stanley tries to get away, but is caught.
Stanley!
Philo notices the attack happening on the monitor and runs out to get George.
Don't even breathe.
George and Philo rush back into the control room.
What are we going to do now?
I'll handle this.
George runs out into the U-62 parking lot. George stops and looks around. We can see his breath in the air. A streetlight obscures our view temporarily. Suddenly, it is daytime, and a muscular man with no shirt on ties a bandana around his head. It is George. He looks like Rambo. George hulks towards a man shooting a gun at him. He is standing in the line of fire, but the bullets don't seem to affect him. He walks right up to the man and levels a crossbow directly at his head. He shoots, and the man explodes. The scene fades into a view of soldiers stationed near a guard tower and an adjacent building. George sneaks into their camp. George peers through a slat in the cell door. He spots Stanley huddled in the corner. Stanley notices George and approaches the door with a smile. George sets Stanley free. They hurry away from the building. They approach a man who sits at a booth. A sign says helicopter rides, $20. They buy a ticket. A line of enemy soldiers appear at the top of a hill overlooking George and Stanley. George returns fire with a machine gun. All the men fall. George and Stanley start to board a helicopter. George returns fire and explodes the guard tower. He keeps indiscriminately shooting and causes even more explosions. As George and Stanley turn to board the helicopter, a man laying on the ground slowly reaches for a gun. A bullet hits George in the face, causing him to quickly turn away. George slowly turns back and smiles. He chews the bullet up and spits gunfire from his lips. Boards the helicopter while Stanley gawks at the explosion. George yanks Stanley on board. The interior of the helicopter is decorated with beads, fuzzy dice, and a hula girl on the dash. George adjusts the rearview mirror. The helicopter takes off. Another helicopter is seen. Inside is R.J. Fletcher wearing a helmet with the number 8. George and R.J. stare menacingly at each other from across the sky. Stanley looks frightened. George presses fire. R.J.'s helicopter erupts into flames. George blows up the Eiffel Tower. George blows up the Colosseum. George blows up the Hollywood sign. Another explosion. Normal George, back in reality.
Who is this guy?
I'm your worst nightmare.
A gun is pressed against George's head.
Listen, I can see you guys are pretty busy. How about if I just come back later?
Forget it, pal. We're all going for a little ride.
Oh. Well, we'll have to take your car. Mine's a two-seater.
Just shut up, kid. You know, you really botched things up. If you hadn't stuck your face in our business...
The goon grabs George's face and squeezes.
You'll all be going home real soon.
George plucks a staple out of the goon's face.
But now, I'm gonna have to take you and your friend out of commission. For good.
Red Rum! Red Rum!
What was that?
A goon approaches the supplies closet.
What?
I don't know. I just thought...
Supplies!
What you bear?
Cooney and his karate students attack RJ's goons. Meanwhile, back at the telethon, $51,440 has been raised. Uncle Sam dances around on stilts.
Hey, everybody, they're back!
Everyone runs out into the parking lot. Stanley and two karate students stand up in the back of a Jeep. He is holding his mop above his head victoriously. Other Jeeps, cars, and motorcycles escort him as he arrives back at U-62. The crowd carries Stanley on their shoulders. The crowd carries Stanley on their shoulders. George gets out of his car as everyone cheers. RJ walks into his office. He turns on his light and sees the mess left behind from the attack.
Friends, there comes a time in every man's life where he has to look the potato of injustice right in the eye. There's a powerful evil force in the universe, and it lives at Channel 8, and I've seen it. And I don't want it to pop its ugly, greasy head around here. Do you?
No!
I can't hear you!
No!
I can't hear you!
No!
Wait a minute.
Stanley takes earplugs out of his ears.
All right, say it again!
No!
All right!
And now, a special report from the owner and general manager of Channel 8, R.J. Fletcher.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I come before you tonight to speak on a matter which is of grave concern to us all. I want to show you how one small television station can single-handedly disrupt and destroy the moral fiber of an entire...
Philo watches Channel 8. He flips a switch that says signal override, stand by.
It may even shock you.
The broadcast tower lights up bright blue.
But I feel it is my duty as a concerned citizen to bring you this important message.
Electricity sparks out of the broadcast tower.
This community means about as much to me as a festering bowl of dog snot. You think I care about the pea-brained yokels of this town? If you took their combined IQ and multiplied it by 100, you might have enough intelligence to tie your shoe. If you didn't drool all over yourself first. I can't stand those sniveling maggots. They make me want to puke. But there is one good thing about broadcasting to a town full of mindless sheep. I always know I've got them exactly where I want them.
RJ realizes he is back on the air. He jumps out of view of the camera. The clock reads 9:59 p.m.
$73,000! We just hit the $73,000 mark! Okay, Mouseketeers, come on! We can do it!
What do you say, stranger?
Terry! What are you doing here? I thought you never wanted to see me again.
Well, whatever gave you that idea?
Well, I think my first clue was when you said you never wanted to see me again.
George, no matter what happens tonight, I just want you to know that I'm so proud of you.
Uncle Harvey, listen, we'll definitely have the money for you. It just may take a few minutes longer than we expected.
Look, kid, if it was up to me, I'd let you have all the time you wanted. But you know, Big Louie, he's a very punctual kind of guy. You know what I mean? I wouldn't want to keep him waiting.
Okay. I know a lot of you people probably like to wait till the last minute. Well, this is it. This is the last minute.
What are you doing here? Disturbing the peace. Come on. Now, why aren't you home in bed? Get up. Stand back. Out of my way. Look out.
RJ unplugs the clock. They have only raised $73,240.
This party is over, Mr. Newman.
You can say that again.
Big Louie's limo approaches. The crowd parts to let him through.
Okay, Fletcher. You win? Give me the money.
Settle down. All in good time, Mr. Bilchick.
What are you, crazy? Give me the money!
Please, if you don't mind. There are a few things I'd like to say to these people before this transaction takes place.
RJ snatches the microphone from Stanley.
Dear friends, I'm sure that one day you'll realize that by shutting down this hotbed of subversive activity...
Hey, mister! I'm
actually... Not now, okay?
Well, I was just wondering if it's too late to buy any of them shares. I'll take whatever you got left.
How much is that?
$2,000. Keep the change.
Bob throws a briefcase and duffel bag full of cash at George. He walks up to Big Louie's limo.
I am going to turn it into a laundromat.
Mr. Big Louie, sir? My Uncle Harvey wanted you to have this. $75,000. It's all there.
Now, let me tell you something about the...
Uncle Harvey signs some papers.
Hey, what's going on here? Now, wait just 1 minute. What do you think you're doing?
We did it! The station's ours! Yeah!
Fireworks go off. Everyone is jumping, cheering, and waving their station shares in the air.
Agreement, remember? An oral contract. I'll sue.
Ah, blow it out your ears, scuzzbag.
RJ Fletcher?
So what if I am?
I'm John Vickers, FCC. I've noticed that your station is late in filing its license renewal this year. Now, normally, this kind of violation is punishable by a stiff fine. But I've been watching you lately. You made a big impression on me. Yeah, I'm revoking your license. Effective immediately, you're off the air.
Hi, Pamela Finkelstein here, coming to you with the most incredible turn of events. Not only has the once powerful corporate broadcasting giant been thoroughly crushed and defeated, but now, as luck would have it, they've been completely stripped of their license by the FCC! Oh, well, what do you have to say about it, you worthless slobbering pig?
Dad! This is my dad! What's going on here?
RJ's son is tripped. He falls face first in the mud.
Oh, did I do that? Oopsie.
Dad!
Philo! Hey, you really went beyond the call of duty on this one, pal. Thanks.
I'm glad to have been of service, George. Well, it appears my work on this planet is complete. I must now return to my home on the planet Zarkon.
Okay, well, have fun.
Philo wanders away.
Hey, nice going, kid. I didn't know you had it in you. You're okay.
Thanks, Uncle Harvey. Have a nice flight back to the car.
Philo turns into a bug-eyed alien. He then turns into a ball of light and zooms away.
Excuse me. Aren't you RJ Fletcher?
Yes.
An old lady knees RJ Fletcher in the crotch.
Congratulations, you really pulled us through.
Hey, George, I want you to know that I'm mighty proud to be a part of your team.
Well, I'm mighty proud of you too, Stanley. In fact, I'd like to present you with a small token of my gratitude.
A trophy. That's me? Stanley, world's greatest janitor and TV star. Oh, George. Never had anybody give me a trophy before. It's big. George,
You're my best friend in the whole world.
Oh, I'm gonna go show everybody right now. Hey, everybody! Look at what George gave me!
Hey. Hey, I know you. You're the guy that gave me that 1965 double-dyed Denver mint penny. Oh, thanks a lot, mister. That thing was worth a fortune. When I cashed it in, I got enough money to buy a whole bunch of shares. Plus, I got me a real neat watch. It's a Rolex. See?
RJ and the bedraggled man hug.
George?
Uh-huh?
You know those dreams you're always having?
Yeah.
Well, do you think that maybe sometime I could be part of them?
Honey, from now on, you're gonna be in all of them.
Oh, George.
Darling, let's leave this place right now. Let's go this very minute.
No, dear, please. Let's wait till tomorrow.
But why? Why?
Because tomorrow is another day.
I knew she was gonna say that.
George and Terry kiss like Rhett and Scarlett from Gone with the Wind. Credits roll.
Put down your remote control, throw out your TV guide. Put away your jacket, there's no need to go outside. Don't you know that we control the horizontal? We control the vertical too. We gonna make potato out of you. That's what we're gonna do now. Don't change the channel. Don't touch that dial. We got it all on UHF. Kick out your sneakers. Stick around for a while. We got it all on UHF. Don't worry about your laundry. Forget about your job. Just crank up the volume and yank up the knob. We got it all. We got show you things.